was the last time that you felt that life is not fair? Things, plans don't work out. There are various reasons for it, but maybe things aren't working out because they're not done in the right way, or others aren't doing their part, or people are not seeing what you are contributing. A while ago, I was facing a high-pressure time, and something drastically went wrong. And I noticed how my thoughts and emotions didn't work together during this time. I felt angry and I felt frustrated because I was working long hours and I found myself comparing myself to things and people around me. So I decided to speak to someone about this anger, frustration, emotions. And the person helped me to get to the core emotion. In the conversation, I realized that my core emotion was not anger, but resentment. As I worked through the layers of the emotions I was experiencing, it was an aha moment. And it shifted my head about how I was reacting when things don't go as I want them or as I think they should. Because now instead of me looking at someone saying, I work 60 hours a week and you don't, so I'm resentful because you're taking the weekend off, I'm realizing I'm not mad about their working or their working hours. I'm upset because I'm not taking the weekend off. There's a knife against my throat and I'm the one holding it. That's resentment. Resentment is the feeling of frustration and or envy, jealousy, related to a perceived unfair situation. It's an emotion that we often experience when we cannot control things. And so today's scripture is a very well-known story that Jesus told. It is about a father with two sons. And the father distributes their inheritance to them because the youngest had come to ask, I want to go see the world. And so the youngest goes and he spends, actually he wastes a lot, everything. And even worse, during this time, there's a drought. And he ends up living on the street. He's lost everything. One day, it's just too bad. Everything is terrible. He finds himself sleeping next to pigs. And he realizes there's only one place I can go now. And that's home. And the father hears that he's on his way. And we read that the father runs to his son. He hugs him and he says, I'm so glad you came home. And he organizes a big party for this homecoming. That's one side of the story. There's another side of another brother. The one who stayed. The responsible one. The one who follows the rules and the one who runs the family business with his father. And meanwhile, the oldest son was in the fields working. When he returned home, he heard music and dancing in the house. And he asked one of the servants, what was going on? Your brother is back, he was told. And your father has killed the fattened calf. We are celebrating because of his safe return. The older brother was angry and wouldn't go in. His father came out and begged him, but he replied, all these years I've slaved for you and never once refused to do a single thing you told me to. And in all that time, you never gave me even one young goat for a feast with my friends. Yet, when this son of yours comes back after squandering your money on prostitutes, you celebrate by killing the fattened calf? His father said to him, look, my dear son, you've always stayed by me, and everything I have is yours. We had to celebrate this happy day, for your brother was dead and has come back to life. He was lost, but now he is found. I don't know about you, but as I read the scripture and the story, I get a sense of this older brother's sense of life not being fair. I've done everything. I gave up so much. I didn't put one foot wrong. I didn't break a law or a rule. And I didn't even get a goat, never mind a fattened calf. Have you experienced some of these emotions? For me, this parable has always been a story of forgiveness. The prodigal son, the youngest coming home. Until I looked closely. And I found myself to be the oldest brother in the story. I don't like to admit it. I'm not a jealous person or that I sit with envy. Until I realized in my inner world, I often compare, keep score, observe. Resentment comes and whispers in my ear, I don't get what is due to me. I don't get what I deserve. And what happens? Joy is stolen. Life is taken away. Do you relate to something of this? The older brother and us too, we miss the greatest gift of life unfolding before him. The gift of grace. The gift of undeserved grace. Because he's stuck. He's stuck in a life of resentment. You see, when Jesus talks about grace, he says, you just get it. Not because you did something amazing or that was great. You get it undeservedly. You just get it. More than that, you actually get the opposite of what you deserve. Because based on what you've done, what I've done, what the youngest or the eldest brother have done, you actually don't deserve it at all. No matter what you and I do, it won't be enough to pay the wage of sin. But in spite of that, God gives favor. And he says, I give you my grace. Paul illustrated so well in Romans 6:23 when he says, the wage of sin is death. What you and I deserve is death. We are sinful. We've all done something wrong. And there's no small wrong or big wrong. But the Lord pays the wages. And he gives us the opposite of what we deserve through Jesus Christ. Here's the thing. While we are stuck in resentment, we will never be able to receive this gift of grace. Because we will always be stuck, held captive in comparison and jealousy and envy. Henry Nouwen said, joy and resentment cannot coexist since resentment blocks the perception and the experience of life as a gift. It blocks the way we see, the way we perceive, the way we experience life. So how do I move from resentment to freedom? Well, moving away from resentment requires moving towards something that gives life. Maybe three invitations, three movements, and the first to move from resentment to gratitude. We often say, like the older brother, I'll be grateful if everything works out 100% and is right for me. If I get all that's due to me, I'll be thankful. But no, life works the other way around. You're not going to be happy when you get everything you want. You're going to be happy and joyful when you're grateful. We want to be happy in order to be grateful. We want to be satisfied in order to be grateful. There's a story of a rich father who once took his privileged son for a trip to the country to show him how poorer families live. So they spent a few days and nights on a farm of a poorer family. And on the drive back home after their visit, the father asked his son what he had learned. And the boy replied to him and he said, well, I saw that we have one dog, they have four. We have a swimming pool that goes till the middle of our garden. They have a creek that has no end. We have imported lanterns and lights in our garden. They have the stars in the sky at night. Thank you, Dad, for showing me how poor we are. Can you see what gifts are around you? The Lord says, like the Father in this parable, everything I have is yours. I long to share this life I created with you deeply. Psalm 36 verse 9, the psalm writer says, Lord, you are the giver of life. You are the source. Your light lets us enjoy life. If you can be grateful for the life that God has given, not only for what you've received, but also for those around you, what they have and what they've received, something happens in life. Something happens in us. A bunch of other emotions are unlocked. I mean, have you ever been to a party where someone is celebrated with so much love and authenticity, and maybe they get a gift that they've been wanting for so long, and they experience that joy and thankfulness? And when you share that with them, or at a wedding, when you share in the joy and gratitude of two stories coming together, or someone who's recovered from a long illness, that thankfulness and joy for life and another chance. Have you ever felt what happens to you when you share in their gratitude and joy for the gift of life that they've received? Your attention begins to shift beyond yourself and you become joyful. That's the thing. If you are grateful, you become a cheerful person. That's what gratitude does. Resentments hold us captive, but gratitude moves us to new possibilities. Resentment makes us cling to the negative. Gratitude sets us free. Resentment makes us prisoners. Gratitude helps us to follow our calling into freedom. Resentment wears us down, and gratitude gives us new vitality and enthusiasm. What can you be joyous about? What are you thankful for? The second invitation, movement from resentment, is when we start to acknowledge the resentment within us. When we go to that place. Despite the father's explanation in the parable, we don't know if the older brother went to celebrate or if he continues to resent his brother. We just don't know. We don't know if he goes to the party. But his presence in the story invites us to think about our own reactions in resentment. On the outside, the older brother does everything right. He obeys his father. He stays at home. He does everything his father asks of him. And unlike his younger brother, he doesn't waste his father's money on prostitutes and parties. And while his life looks so good on the outside, he is full of resentment and envious of his brother's actions. What's happening? Well, in essence, his actions are right. But his motives are dark. He's curved towards himself. And now to recognize the motives of our heart is a journey on its own, and it is massive because it's a way to freedom. It's a way to discernment. It's a way to acknowledge what is happening inside of me. And as you admit the resentments of your heart, you might notice that there are two experiences within you. You might notice that I'm sitting with unhealthy discontentment. But you can also notice maybe I'm sitting with a holy discontentment. It's not based on resentment. And I'm talking here about that desire that comes into your life when you realize things don't have to be this way. There's a different vision for the life he's calling me to. There's a difference between discontentment rooted in resentment and a holy discontent. There are two types of jealousy. It's interesting. In 1 Corinthians 13, we read, love is not jealous, but God is jealous. The law tells us God is jealous. So what's the difference? The motive. The one comes from a place where it feeds the ego, the self. But the other comes from another place that's not focused on myself, but rather on others. My motive is I don't want to lose him or her to what is bad. And from a selfless place, I desire a different outcome. But once we can recognize and discern the motives of our heart, the struggle within us, we can see our resentments for what they are, and we can step into the freedom God works for and in us. When I start asking, where does this come from? How far am I willing to go? How much grace is too much? What boundaries or norms or rules have I set? And most importantly, what if I break them? What could be possible? What could God do if I decide to go to the party? The last invitation to move from resentment to freedom is to let go. Let go of the resentments. I grow in freedom from resentment when I grow in peace by letting go. I ask God to help me. To help me to surrender to Him and to trust. So I name the things in my life that's ended or didn't work out the way I planned and hoped for. And I wait in expectation and silence for God to do something new. I choose because I have a choice. I always have a choice. I choose to see the new, the good, the beautiful gifts of grace that He gives me every day. I let go of what I've lost when my plans didn't work out because I can't get it back and I can't change it. But I can receive the blessing and the grace to adapt to a new reality. Yes, it's not exactly how I wanted it. But God is busy creating something new. Someone once said to me, something happens to you that you don't expect. Something doesn't work out. You can ask the Lord, why God, why? But a better question to ask is, Lord, what do you want? What do you want to do through this? What are you busy with? What is it that you want to give me or say to me? Or are you inviting me towards? And then to receive His Spirit. God gifts us the grace of His Holy Spirit that leads us. Receive the Spirit of God for the life you are in fact living now. He's with you and He's going to show you the way. What an adventure awaits. So where are you today? Maybe you're feeling stuck. You're in the desert. Because of plans that did not work out, you're sitting with that sense of unfairness and resent what has happened. Maybe it's something that happened long ago, but you've just cultivated, life has cultivated in you a bitterness and resentments, and you long to be free of that. Ask the Lord for His grace to cultivate gratitude in your life. Ask for His grace to recognize the motives of your heart, to name those resentments that are holding you captive. And then ask for His grace to let go of what you thought was best, to let go of what didn't work out, to let go of what's keeping you stuck. Let's pray together. Lord, we turn towards You. We turn our lives from the brokenness and the pain and the wilderness, and we want to turn it towards Your kingdom or to new possibilities, to new realities. And we trust Your work in our lives. We ask for the grace to cultivate a life of gratitude. We ask for the grace to acknowledge and to admit the motives of our heart, the resentments, to name them, Give us courage to do this work, Lord. And we ask for your grace to let go of those plans that will not work out, that has not worked out, so that we can take hold of, pick up this new reality, own it, claim it, reclaim it, acknowledge it, and live into it. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you have a prayer request or you'd like someone to pray with you today, please contact us on pastoral@mosaic.com or gebedsversoeke@mosaic.com. Receive the blessing. The love of God our Father, the grace of Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit remain with you now and forevermore. Amen.